Welcome to Tower Talks with Inside Towers, the wireless infrastructure industry's podcast. And now for your weekly recap, a timely review of this week's top headlines and takeaways. Here's your host.
Welcome to Inside Towers News Review. I'm Leslie Stimson, Inside Towers Washington Bureau Chief. With me are John Celentano, our business editor, and Jim Fryer, our managing editor. This episode is sponsored by Inside Towers Intelligence. It's a quarterly market report that dives deep into the wireless infrastructure ecosystem. Intelligence looks at market trends, capital expenditures, relevant M&A transactions, and a whole lot more. The 2024 Volume 1 issue is out. An annual subscription includes an exclusive briefing, which John held on the 17th of this month, and it includes online support. Intelligence is designed for managers, marketers, and investors. For more information or to subscribe, visit insidetowers.com/intelligence. So, John, you're deep into the heart of the earnings calls. What would you like to discuss?
Yes, we are, Leslie, and we're starting to get a bit of a picture shaping up from the market and how it's evolving. This week, both Ericsson and Nokia, the prime telecom equipment vendors globally, reported, and their results actually paralleled each other. Both of them saw declines in their overall sales, mainly because the markets in their big markets in North America are still in a slowdown. And then, you know, last year they had both of them had a big run up in India as the major mobile network operators there ramped up their 5G spending and then have since calmed down to somewhat more normal levels. So, but interestingly, both companies, declared some kind of profits, mainly through cost-cutting measures. They did lay off staff. So we reported that they had big staff cuts, and have trimmed some of their services. But I think their results are indicative of sort of the state of the market on a global scale. That there is activity going on, but it's at a lower level than it had been in the past couple of years. The expectation, though, is that that will pick up. There is continuing demand for data consumption for mobile devices, and that's a worldwide phenomenon. And the companies see their order flow starting to pick up and expect that sales will ramp up through the end of the year and into next year as a lot of these network buildouts pick up the pace. The other story that we tracked and we as a team have been tracking it for some time is Crown Castle. They reported their first quarter earnings. They too are down, although they say organic growth was up about 5%. There were some one-time items and also the kick in of the termination of Sprint legacy leases. Sprint, when it was absorbed and merged with T-Mobile, there was a lot of duplicate sites. So there were some, tower locations that they didn't need, both Sprint and T-Mobile at the same location. So Crown Castle has seen it taking a hit on that. They knew it was coming. It's not new news, but that would affect their earnings. But the larger picture was that, the company's been through some real gyrations over the past few months. It started off when an activist investor, Elliott Management, first demanded changes to Crown Castle's business model, prompting the company to take a look at its fiber and small cell business. And actually that led to CEO Jay Brown's resignation. We called it a retirement, but I think he just took leave at that point. That initiated a strategic review by the board of directors. And then the company's former founder and CEO, Ted Miller, and his investment vehicle jumped into the fray. They wanted similar changes, and they actually demanded 4 seats on the board, which were subsequently rejected. But But you know, all the while the board had engaged, as soon as Brown left, the board undertook an executive search and ended up hiring the former head of American Tower's U.S. Tower Division, Steve Moskovich, as this new CEO. So he was on the call. He didn't obviously say anything in regard to their performance, other than that he was happy to be on board and he was coming up to speed. But the chairman of the board, Robert Bartolo, did give some insights into the review that's underway as as to what they may end up doing with the fiber and small cell business. And basically, all options are on the table. He said they are engaged in discussions with a number of parties, although nothing has been finalized. But you know, they could potentially break up that division and sell fiber and small cell separately. They could sell it as a whole. They could enter into some kind of joint venture, either in part or in whole, with interested parties. So it's still to be determined, but he promised that the news would be coming soon enough as they finalized any of these transactions. You know, Crown Castle has a pretty rich portfolio of assets, you know, over 40,000 towers, 90,000 fiber route miles, and 115,000 small cells either installed or under contract. The company did say last year it deployed 8,000 small cells, which was down from the prior year, and we knew that was coming. But this year, they're on pace to activate double that, up to 16,000. So that business is viable. It's just a matter of, is it well positioned within Crown Castle, or is it better suited to be managed under another organization? But Jim, you followed the trials and tribulations of the Ted Miller saga along the way, and he hasn't stopped agitating.
Yeah, it's my favorite Yiddish word, Mishigas. There's still some Mishigas that are going on. But it sounds like Ted Miller is okay with Moskowitz as the CEO, right? That seemed to be the gist.
I did read something along those lines that that wasn't the issue he was right. making at this point. He still felt that they needed to, you know, really take a hard look at their diversified businesses outside of towers. And he had been critical that the board had lacked experience in the tower business, but I think that I don't know if that argument still holds. The board has been pretty adamant that they have deep experience to run the business.
Yeah, now he's still actively involved in the proceedings. I was going to say agitating, but he's involved in all the stuff going on at Crown still, and just recently got a ruling from a court in Delaware, Court of Chancery. They granted a discovery into a breach of fiduciary duty claim against the board of directors of Crown, and charging the Crown expanded the number of board seats in the late stages of an ongoing proxy contest by Boots Capital, Ted Miller's group. The Delaware court granted a hearing into that, and so we'll this is far from over. We're going to be hearing more about it, no pun intended. The court will assess Boots Capital's preliminary injunction motion, and then they'll seek potential remedies, including a potential delay at Crown's annual meeting, which is going to be May 22nd. Mm-hmm. So get your popcorn, stay tuned for May 22nd. That should be interesting.
Yes, it should.
So in Washington, things are kind of quiet, although the newest commissioner, Ana Gomez, did speak at CCA's mobile carrier show. And the head of the association Tim Donovan, you know, he let the attendees know we are busy tracking competitive policy issues. Their big deal is getting money for rip and replace. They're also high on the 5G fund. And he said, you know, our ultimate aim is to ensure carriers have all the tools available to connect Americans across the country, including 5G and fixed wireless. Ana Gomez said, and this was her first time addressing the show in her current role. She's worked at the FCC before. She worked at NTIA. She headed up the latest work. And she said, the heart of our mission is to provide connection to everyone, everywhere. That's the heart of the FCC's mission. And, you know, telling the attendees, you more than most truly understand what it takes to extend wireless connectivity. When you serve rural communities, this becomes the most important issue. She urged Congress to pass funding to keep the affordable connectivity program going beyond May, noting that 23 million households are served by the broadband program for low-income households. She said that means the ACP impacts 1 in 6 households. She said a concern the commissioners are hearing is that without the ACP, the anticipated BEAD money won't go as far. And she said without the ACP subsidies or BEAD subsidies, quote, some providers have a fear of building in rural areas because they may not be successful. That could result in less households serviced. She also pleaded with Congress to restore the FCC's auction authority. She said as new wireless uses are developed, identifying more spectrum is vital. And, you know, she said what we all know, there's less greenfield, meaning totally vacant spectrum available. That means dynamic spectrum sharing will be key. And she said we have experience with dynamic spectrum sharing. Presumably she was referring to CDBS, but she said that, and she said their experience protects incumbents. We have a lot to learn, but we are well on our way. And Jim, you had an interesting conversation with Patrick Halley.
Yes, Leslie, we had our wireless water cooler edition just recently, and I co-host that with Patrick Halley at WIA, and we had U.S. Congressman Buddy Carter of Georgia's 1st Congressional District, and that's the district right along the coast there in Georgia, includes Savannah. So he had some very insightful things to say about how they're using BEAD money, how they're using it to reach out to rural communities and how it's affecting them. And, you know, some insightful talk inside Congress and you know, how they're hoping to, at least on this particular issue, reach across the aisle and be cooperative with each other. That doesn't seem to be the case in any other issue in Congress, but it is in this case. So that was good to hear. And it's a good 1.5-hour interview. And, you know, he was gracious to come on and talk to us and be so candid. So we're glad to have caught that on the podcast.
Thank you for listening to Inside Towers News Review. For a complete rundown of all the week's stories, check out our Saturday edition.
Thank you for listening to Tower Talks. To subscribe to our podcast, our daily newsletter, or use our other industry resources, please visit InsideTowers.com. Until next time, you've been listening to Tower Talks from Inside Towers, the wireless infrastructure industry's podcast.